WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL. A Cumulus station. News now.
More misery in Texas. I'm Pam Husso, Fox News. As electricity is restored, millions of people are dealing with a new crisis, water that has to be boiled before drinking.
After reports earlier in the week of people trying to burn pieces of their furniture just to attempt to stay warm, now reports of people using the snow as their drinking water, either because their pipes are frozen and they have no water at all, or because it's just not safe to consume.
Fox's Casey Stegall. Food is also a concern as stores run out of inventory. In Oregon, National Guard troops are going door to door in areas hard hit by last weekend's ice storm. In many cases, trees have to be removed before electricity can be restored. Two Air Force pilots have been killed during a training mission in Alabama.
An Air Force spokesman says the T-38 aircraft went down Friday night in a wooded area near Montgomery Regional Airport. The cause of the crash was not immediately known.
Fox says Chris DeMeo. After days of declines, new coronavirus infections in the U.S. are creeping back up. Johns Hopkins University says they topped 100,000 yesterday. Next week, the House is expected to vote on President Biden's virus relief bill that totals nearly $2 trillion.
I'm grateful that the Senate and the House are moving quickly. And I'm prepared to hear their ideas on how to make the package better and make it cheaper.
Republican leadership calls the plan a progressive wish list. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny remains behind bars after losing an appeal against his prison sentence. He was jailed in January after returning to Russia from Germany, where he was treated after being poisoned. At the Australian Open, Naomi Osaka beat Jennifer Brady in the women's final. America's listening to Fox News.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-573-9552. That's 800-573-9552. 800-573-9552. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Amazon Alexa.
More Americans have been indicted in connection with the Capitol riot. Six people, all linked to the Oath Keepers movement, a far-right anti-government group, are accused of breaching the complex last month. It's also alleged that two members of the group deleted content on Facebook. In a few weeks, National Guard troops deployed to the nation's capital are expected to start returning home.
Right now, in terms of our expected stay, it is, you know, March 12th, and we don't have an additional requirement or request from another federal agency to provide them support.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says threats will continue to be assessed and decisions will be made based on what's believed to be credible. A new law in South Carolina that bans most abortions has been suspended.
It wasn't even in effect two full days before a federal judge suspended the South Carolina abortion law that Governor Henry McMaster signed. Planned Parenthood is mounting a legal challenge to it, and a hearing is set for March 9th. The so-called heartbeat ban is similar to other laws a dozen states have passed, all of which were stopped from taking effect and are tied up in court. It bans abortions at the detection of a heartbeat, which can be as early as 6 weeks into a pregnancy before many even know they're pregnant. Abortion is legal under federal law. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
Lawmakers in New Mexico have approved a measure to ensure access to abortion. The Democrat-led legislature has overturned a dormant ban on most abortion procedures. The statute took effect in 1969, but has gone unenforced ever since the Supreme Court upheld the right to an abortion. If left in place, though, the ban could go into effect if the High Court eventually overturns the Roe v. Wade ruling. New Mexico's governor has said she will sign the bill. I'm Pam Puso, and this is Fox News.
So far, traffic is moving well on the Beltway throughout Maryland and Virginia. No delays to report, but be aware of the work zone on the outer loop of the off-ramp to go westbound on 66. Long-term road work there blocks that right lane, so it is narrowed on the ramp, so be extra careful there. In Centerville, there is a work zone in place on the Lee Highway at I-66. Two-way traffic runs on the southbound lanes of 29 until about 8 o'clock this morning. So far in the district, no delays to report on the freeway or on DC 295. On 95 in Maryland, northbound at 175. Watch out for a work zone along the left side. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL StormWatch 7 forecast.
While it's nice to finally have a dry weekend and some blue sky, it certainly still feels like winter out. Morning wind chills are in the teens, and with gusts around 25 miles per hour, it will feel like the 20s even at the peak of the afternoon. Actual high temperatures range from the low to mid-30s. We'll drop down into the teens tonight. Slight improvement Sunday with calmer winds and afternoon highs in the upper 30s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the StormWatch 7 weather team.
It's a podcast about money, but Stacking Benjamins not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor, too.
Eventually, we all get hit by the proverbial bus. If it happens today, what do I want to have happen with my stuff? You can do anything that you want, but it's impossible to do it once you're flattened by the city bus and laying there like Flat Stanley. Did you guys do Flat Stanley when your kids were in school?
No, but I don't know where you come up with this. No.
Listen and subscribe to Stacking Benjamins on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Hey there, it's Larry O'Connor. You know, recently I needed some work done on my house, and you know who I called? Patrick Fingles and his team at New Look Home Design. Why? Well, because they make it easy. In fact, getting a new roof from New Look is so easy, practically all you need to do is pick out the color you like. Want some other reasons why getting a new roof from New Look is easy? Well, they offer both virtual and on-site same-day estimates. New Look gives you line-by-line transparent pricing, and since they install a roof every hour, that means they have buying power. So they pass those extra savings along to you, saving you money. Listen, now through February 28th, save 50% on all roofing materials with New Look. Plus, qualified applicants can get 0% financing until 2022. Do what I did. Give New Look a call, 800-279-5300, 800-279-5300, or visit newlookhomedesign.com, 800-279-5300, or visit newlookhomedesign.com.
Hey there, easy listener. Ty Pennington here. You know, Prince of the Puka Shell Necklace, King of the Cargo Shorts. I love a good makeover. Like the new Cash 5 with Easy Match from the Virginia Lottery. Because now, Cash 5 has a daily jackpot starting at $100,000. And Easy Match for an instant chance to win up to $500. Take it from this early 2000s heartthrob. Wowza.
Odds of winning jackpot, 1 in 750,000. Odds of winning the Easy Match top prize, 1 in 84,000.
Heard the good news about COVID-19 vaccines? They're here. But you can do more than wait for your turn. See, you have the power to help slow the spread. Actually, you could be a real difference maker and protect your family and loved ones, too. Here's how. Watch your distance. Stay at least 6 feet away from folks you don't live with. And it's risky to be indoors with them, too, no matter how far apart you are. And, of course, avoid crowds. Also, wear a mask. CDC reports that masks protect both the person wearing them and the folks around them from particles that carry the virus. And wash your hands using soap and water for 20 seconds, and do it frequently. Watch your distance, wear a mask, and wash your hands. Simple, effective, and along with vaccines, they're how you can make a big difference.
Learn more about vaccines at cdc.gov/coronavirus. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler, Jeff Wolf behind the console, Jane Houghton, our producer this morning. Well, the chill is on in Texas all week, and the heat has been on in New York all week. Of course, those winter storms, 58 dead now in Texas and counting. In New York, the heat has been on Governor Cuomo, and the heat is being turned up in New York, and he's getting heat from somebody he probably didn't anticipate getting heat from. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez joining fellow New York Democrats. She is calling for an investigation into Governor Andrew Cuomo, his administration's handling of COVID-19 in the state's nursing homes, and, of course, the underreporting of nursing home deaths. And there has been increasing pressure on Governor Cuomo this week. You do recall that his top aide, Melissa DeRosa, said during a private call with Democratic lawmakers that the Cuomo administration had withheld data about COVID-19 nursing home deaths because it was concerned about President Donald Trump's Justice Department starting an investigation. DeRosa's comments were leaked and first published last week by the New York Post. So what did AOC have to say? Well, here's a written statement. Thousands of vulnerable New Yorkers lost their lives in nursing homes throughout the pandemic. Their loved ones and the public deserve answers and transparency from their elected leadership. And the secretary to the governor's remarks warrant a full investigation. That from AOC. Well, the heat's been on the governor, and if you know much about the governor, or if you've heard much about what people have said about the governor, he's known to be a bully in New York, and I would say if you listen to some of his comments yesterday, that he is doing everything he can to bully his way out of it. And he's blamed the staff at the nursing homes. He said it wasn't the patients that brought it. When the patients were brought back into nursing homes that actually had COVID-19, oh, that wasn't the cause. The cause was the staff members were bringing it in. That was one of the places the blame went. Of course, the Trump administration got the blame for it. GOP in general getting the blame for it from Governor Cuomo. And here's yet another explanation.
It's all this political toxicity. And then you get some people who have a personal agenda. Some people who have had a long-term problem with this office, which still goes on.
Okay, yeah. Try this one.
It is politicians making up stuff to get their face on TV.
He is the master of politicians making stuff up to get their face on TV. You know, he wrote a book on his COVID-19. They've moved that over to the fiction section in a lot of the bookstores. Oh, I just made that up, sorry. Misinformation. Okay, Governor Cuomo, this guy's amazing, okay? People are hoping that he might take some responsibility for what happened in the nursing homes, or he might be somewhat apologetic. Well, he did make this admission.
We created the void by not producing enough public information quickly enough. I get that. But then it was exploited with misinformation, people playing politics, Republicans playing politics, personal attacks, personal agendas. And now this continues and people get confused. And people who lost family members in nursing homes start to say, I wonder if this is true.
So his basic admission of maybe some mistake was that he didn't do a good enough job of covering it up and convincing you that nothing was going on up there. So, yeah, I could have done a better job of, you know,
informing everybody that there was nothing going on. Nothing to see here, folks. Move right along. Nothing to see. Nothing to see. Well, that's not going to work. Now, back to the bully idea here that a lot of people have been talking about, not this week only, but for years. Ron Kim, you may have seen or heard Ron Kim on TV this week, Democrat, New York State Assemblyman, got a phone call from Governor Cuomo after Kim was critical of the governor. Here's how that went.
He said he can destroy you. I mean, he literally said that, and what else?
He said, I haven't seen his anger, I haven't seen his wrath, and he will, just tell me, he will go out, and he's been biting his tongue, but he will go out tomorrow and destroy my political career, everything. Like, he would say how bad of a person I am to everyone in public. My wife, that night was very, very, troubling because we couldn't sleep, and she's telling me, what did you do to us? Stop what you're doing, please. She feared for my future, for my life.
So that's a sample of how he treats his fellow Democrats. Well, Claudia Tenney is the newest Republican member of the House of Representatives, just getting into the House of Representatives this month after a lengthy recount. Well, here's how Congressman Claudia Tenney summed up Governor Cuomo. This was last night on Fox News.
Well, this is vintage Cuomo. This is how he always sounds. He's bullying. He's pointing fingers. He's blaming other people. He's accusing other people, incredibly, of being political and engaging in pay-to-play, as he accused Assemblyman Ron Kim. There isn't a bigger pay-to-play politician in Albany than Governor Andrew Cuomo. He has been at this for a long time. I got elected to the state assembly in 2010, the same time he got elected as governor. It has been one abuse of power after another.
And that's just a sample of how people feel about him in New York. And this one is not going to go away for the governor. Many people are calling for him to step down. There are a movement now toward impeachment. And a lot of people are saying that his political career is toast, whereas the Emmy Award winner, I wonder if they'll pull that back. How about we recall the Emmy to the governor? A lot of people are saying that he had a shot potentially to run for president, but just likely won't be reelected to be the governor. So that's the latest from New York on Governor Cuomo. We're at 6:17. This is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, and we have got an action-packed show coming up for you today. We will talk with Jim Trustee, of course, our legal counsel, and he will go into a lot of the details of the legal aspects of what Governor Cuomo is facing. The investigation, what liabilities he may have from the legal standpoint. We're going to be talking with Jennifer Harper. She's got some interesting poll numbers floating around, including how people are feeling about President Trump these days, the former president. Also coming up, we're going to be talking with John Gizzi. He's got a look at what's going on in New York as well. And we're going to be talking with John about some of the latest activities around the White House, as he is the White House correspondent for Newsmax and Newsmax TV. Gordon Chang will join us in the 7 o'clock hour today, and we're going to talk about President Biden's new policies that he's implementing toward China and some of the changes we can anticipate there. All coming up with Gordon Chang. We'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. We're going to look at the national security implications, what we're learning out of Texas, the vulnerabilities that we see with the power system, the water system in Texas. What does that mean sort of on a national security front? And then we'll talk with KT McFarland, get her latest assessment on Biden's foreign policy moves. Of course, G7 conference this week, and it just kind of looks like we're going back to leading from behind so that we can continue another 8 years of the Obama administration leading from behind. It's just an opinion. We are going to check the traffic and weather right now. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
So far, traffic moving at speed in Maryland on 270 from Germantown heading towards the Beltway, and no delays on the Beltway at this time throughout Maryland and Virginia. In Bethesda, be aware of a long-term work zone on Wisconsin Avenue, north and southbound between Elm Street and Montgomery Lane. Right turn lane is blocked in each direction. Heads up, if you are traveling in the district, there is some fire department activity to watch out for on 28th Street in Southeast. Watch out for lane restrictions between Naylor Road and Gainesville Street, and follow police direction in the area. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WML Stormwatch 7 forecast.
While it's nice to finally have a dry weekend and some blue sky, it certainly still feels like winter out. Morning wind chills are in the teens, and with gusts around 25 miles per hour, it will feel like the 20s even at the peak of the afternoon. Actual high temperatures range from the low to mid-30s. We'll drop down into the teens tonight, slight improvement Sunday, with calmer winds and afternoon highs in the upper 30s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
It's currently 27 degrees in the nation's capital, 620 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Voller. It's good to have you with us. And we were speaking earlier of Texas. And as we mentioned, 58 dead toll so far, the death toll at 58 in Texas. And it's expected to go higher. At its height, about 4 million Texans were without power this week. The temperature is dropping into the teens and single digits in Texas. About 165,000 people remaining without electricity on Friday. Millions still without running water or under notices to boil their tap water. Also on Friday, Texas still did not have a signed emergency declaration from President Biden. Texas requested it earlier in the week. Here's what the president had to say yesterday.
There's no red or blue. It's all about commitment to the American people make to one another. And so we're going to sign that declaration once it's in front of me. And God willing, it will bring a lot of relief to a lot of Texans.
So that's President Biden talking about Texas. And again, a little late on that emergency declaration, Joe. If you've been watching the administration for the last month, remember how they were going to be so efficient. And, of course, unity. Well, I mean, we're not even talking about unity anymore. That's out the window. Forget about unifying the country. But there was going to be all this efficiency and normalcy, and they had the game plan, and they were going to tackle COVID-19. It seems every time the president speaks, there's a different timeline. There's sort of a different way we look at COVID-19. And this is a clip from yesterday when President Biden was speaking about COVID-19. And CNN, when they aired this statement from President Biden, the CNN anchor even said that President Biden stumbled through his response on COVID-19. That from CNN, and they were referring to this.
Getting the vaccine and having it available is not the same as putting it in someone's arms. This is going to be a continuous rolling effort. So we will have ordered much of which would have been distributed, over 600 million doses by the end of July. July 29th is the expected date. That could change. Look what's happening with the weather now, for example. It's slowing up the distribution right now. But I believe we'll be approaching normalcy by the end of this year, and God willing, this Christmas will be different than last. But I can't make that commitment to you.
I'm not quite sure where we are, except maybe next Christmas. So that's, I don't know how that makes me feel, but it makes me feel a little uncomfortable because I thought everything was going to be normal again. Interesting note from Capitol Hill. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin said that he will not vote to confirm President Biden's pick to be the Office of Management and Budget Director. That's Neera Tanden. Now, you may have seen or heard Neera Tanden, over the past few years, she has made some vicious tweets. She's made some vicious comments as a pundit on some of the cable news channels. None favorable to Republicans, even got into it with Bernie Sanders at one point. And Neera Tanden apparently is in real trouble now in getting the nomination confirmed. Of course, Joe Manchin, being the Democrat, they need that Democrat with a 50-50 split in the Senate. One Republican would have to back Neera Tanden to compensate for Manchin's no vote, and the chances of a Republican voting for Neera Tanden are somewhere between slim and none. And in Manchin's statement, I just want to read one or two sentences from that. I believe her overtly partisan statements will have a toxic and detrimental impact on the important working relationship between members of Congress and the next director of OMB. For this reason, I cannot support her nomination. So Fort Pelosi continues down at the Capitol. There is now some talk that National Guard will be moving out come March 12th. Here's the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin.
Our expected stay, it is, March 12th. And we don't have an additional requirement or request from another federal agency to provide them support.
All right, so hopefully things will, well, they'll never get back to normal at the Capitol, but at least the National Guard will get to go home. And, you know, typically when you call a meeting, you do the old business first, and then you do the new business. But I did the new business first this morning. But I want to go back to one 12-second clip of old business. And this was on Saturday after the impeachment trial was concluded, and you, I'm sure, have seen or heard Mitch McConnell blasting President Trump. And he has caused now a real rift between President Trump and the Republican Party, the split between the McConnells and the Trumps. Now, with that said by Mitch McConnell, where he blasted President Trump, it wasn't good enough for Nancy Pelosi. And I said to myself, she is hopeless. There is no chance that she will ever work with Republicans. McConnell blasted Trump, and here's how she summed it up.
He was hedging all over the place. I don't know whether it was for donors or what, but whatever it was a very disingenuous speech.
McConnell ripped Trump apart. And Pelosi calls it disingenuous. So good luck ever getting her to work with anybody on the other side of the aisle. 627 Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Virginia, William Hill, America's number one sports book, is now here. And we have a special 2021 offer to help you bet on all your favorite sports risk-free. Download the William Hill Sportsbook app, and when you sign up, you can get started with a risk-free bet of up to $2,021. Use promo code RadioRF. Terms and conditions apply. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call, text, or chat our confidential and toll-free helpline at 1-888-532-3500. Let's make it interesting with William Hill Sportsbook.
Must be present in Virginia.
Transparency and trust, clarity and value, understanding risk. Are you getting these things from your financial advisor? Hi, this is Simon Hamilton, co-host of The Wise Investor Show, heard every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on WMAL. Having a financial partner who understands what's important to you can make a big difference.
Simon Hamilton and The Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated. To reach Simon, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed wise investor.
That's my auctioneer Angie selling your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com brings the auction to you. All you have to do is give me the VIN. We have a 45-second offer online, check or payoff on the spot in your hand. It's fast, it's easy, and we have the best online reviews on the planet. And if we don't beat your CarMax offer, I'll send you $100. Sell me your car.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear.
Say thank you to your home for being there for you.
Start with a free estimate from your neighborhood CertaPro Painters. We really understand how you feel about your home. That's why you can count on us to take care of every detail. Listening, prepping, painting. It's always worry-free with our expert painting team. Whatever project you have in mind, you can count on CertaPro Painters to do the job beautifully. This is the kind of certainty you and your home deserve. So when it comes to refreshing the home you love, trust it to CertaPro Painters. We'll paint it with the care and attention to detail that only a local business can offer. Schedule your free estimate now at CertaPro.com. We're here to help you cross that painting project off the list. Let's get the project started today. Go to CertaPro.com. That's Certa with a C. Each CertaPro Painter's business is independently owned and operated.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Imagine feeling the freedom of 20/20 vision without the hassle of foggy glasses and contacts. Well, thanks to the LASIK Vision Institute, that freedom could be yours. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way. At the LASIK Vision Institute, we're offering dramatically low prices, as low as $220 per eye, plus affordable financing. Go to LASIK.com and see if LASIK is right for you. The LASIK Vision Institute offers the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology, and our expert medical teams have performed over 1.3 million procedures. Technology and experience, all more affordable than you might imagine. Go to LASIK.com today to schedule your free consultation and start feeling the freedom of better vision. That's LASIK.com. Individual results vary. $220 per eye price available based on prescription. Go to LASIK.com for details. Patients age 40 and over will likely experience the need for reading glasses.
What's keeping you up at night? For many baby boomers, it's questions about retirement. Hi, I'm Abe Abish, founder of Abish Financial Services. And along with my team, I want to help you rest easier by providing useful knowledge to address the concerns you have now while offering ideas on ways you can work to achieve your financial goals in the years ahead. Join me here on WMAL, Saturday afternoon at 2 for Retirement Key Radio. And connect anytime at retirementkeyradio.com.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing and free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
In the headlines from the Associated Press at 6:30, the extreme weather that has left residents of Texas and other southern states shivering through an unseasonal cold spell is testing President Joe Biden's disaster management skills. Part of the job of being president includes responding to the destruction that natural disasters leave behind. Biden says he hopes to travel to Texas next week, but he doesn't want his presence to distract from the recovery. Texas Senator Ted Cruz has been under fire for taking his family off to Cancun, Mexico, while Texans suffered through a deadly winter storm this week. He did return right away and issued an immediate apology. It will be a much-watched test case for whether the traditional political scandal has any staying power in the future. The Biden administration has added a layer of sanctions to a Russian vessel and the ship owner, that for their work on a new gas pipeline from Russia that is strongly opposed by the U.S. and Eastern Europe. The move was immediately criticized as inadequate by senior Republican lawmakers. And the United States has returned to the Paris Climate Accord. President Biden told a virtual gathering of European leaders on Friday that the world can, quote, no longer delay or do the bare minimum to address climate change. Global leaders applauded the U.S. formal return to the mostly voluntary 2015 agreement. 6:32, time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In the district, do be aware of some fire department activity on 28th Street in the 2800 block in Southeast. Watch out for lane restrictions between Naylor Road and Gainesville Street due to the fire department activity. Follow police direction around the scene. Also in the district, there is a closure to keep in mind. They are doing the road work again this weekend on the Suitland Parkway. That has the roadway closed in both directions between South Capitol Street and First Sterling Avenue, but detours are posted. Traveling on the Beltway at the outer loop at the off-ramp to go on to westbound 66. Watch out for the ramp to be narrowed to one lane. Through that long-term work zone, the right lane is closed. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
While it's nice to finally have a dry weekend and some blue sky, it certainly still feels like winter out. Morning wind chills are in the teens, and with gusts around 25 miles per hour, it will feel like the 20s even at the peak of the afternoon. Actual high temperatures range from the low to mid-30s. Will drop down into the teens tonight, slight improvement Sunday, with calmer winds and afternoon highs in the upper 30s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
27 degrees in the nation's capital, 635.
The best in internet and entertainment is here, and it's all powered by Xfinity for one unbelievable value. Introducing breakthrough Wi-Fi speed, now faster than a gig. That's right, not just internet speed, Wi-Fi speed. And that's enough to handle every device in the house and then some. And with Xfinity X1, you get access to live TV and top streaming apps with our award-winning voice remote. Faster internet, better entertainment. It's really that simple. So what are you waiting for? Upgrade your whole home experience today with Xfinity.
Get started with Xfinity Internet and TV for $54.99 a month. And get a speed upgrade included, all for 12 months. Or until March 15th, ask how to get even more with a free upgrade to gig speed for a year. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and autopay in 3-21-21. Restrictions apply. New Choice Double Play, 200 megabits per second customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV fee extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed. Gig offer limited to standard plus more with 2-year agreement and compatible X-Fi gateway.
Interesting times.
It's an interesting topic to think about.
Can lead to some interesting conversations.
They're spiking up the panic, but you guys keep it real.
Where Washington comes to talk.
I listen for hope. I listen for clarity.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
Listen up, because your bank account will thank me. It's Larry O'Connor, and I am blown away by this new program that my friends and realtors, Debbie and Sarah, the Reynolds team with Keller Williams Realty, have just launched. You can sell your home and pay zero commission through their new COVID-19 seller relief package. Yes, you heard me right. You can get full service for selling your home, and the buyer pays all the commission. You already know Debbie has the buyers. Well, now Debbie has the buyers that are willing to pay all the commission. So you can net more money, sell your home safely through their virtual staging and marketing program, and they'll match your home to one of their buyers who will pay the commission for you. Programs like this is why the Wall Street Journal has ranked the Reynolds team the number one team in the D.C. metro market for families served. This offer will not last long, so call 844-344-SOLD. That's 844-344-SOLD, or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
Imagine feeling the freedom of 20/20 vision without the hassle of foggy glasses and contacts. Well, thanks to the LASIK Vision Institute, that freedom could be yours. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way. At the LASIK Vision Institute, we're offering dramatically low prices, as low as $220 per eye, plus affordable financing. Go to LASIK.com and see if LASIK is right for you. The LASIK Vision Institute offers the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology, and our expert medical teams have performed over 1.3 million procedures. Technology and experience, all more affordable than you might imagine. Go to LASIK.com today to schedule your free consultation and start feeling the freedom of better vision. That's LASIK.com. Individual results vary. $220 per eye price available based on prescription. Go to LASIK.com for details. Patients age 40 and over will likely experience the need for reading glasses.
The Saturday Morning Update continues on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Jennifer Harper each week. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
You, as a journalist and media person, obviously touched by the loss of Rush Limbaugh this week. We've heard people talking a lot about what he meant to broadcasting, what he meant in people's lives, what he's meant in the political picture. Your reflections on Rush Limbaugh?
Well, certainly I think everybody should remember, and this that was a tough week for a lot of people. You know, me too, absolutely. You have to remember that he had 15 million radio listeners, and that was like 15 million people who were, you know, suddenly floored. And I personally know a lot of people that they plan their lunch around Rush's show and so forth, very personal. And they all took it very personally. But I'm sure all of our listeners this morning know what I mean. But I have kind of a tribute from some of his fellow radio people. And here's what they had to say. Greater than any other single talent, Limbaugh was widely credited for not only reinvigorating the politically geared talk show as we know it, but also for prolonging AM radio's very existence. The aggregate amount of revenue he generated for operators of AM facilities carrying his daily talk show is nothing short of mind-boggling. This is coming from Mike Kenosian. He's managing editor of Talkers Magazine. That is a very rare and very, very astute publication that is actually geared around talk radio. Talkers Magazine, they're online if you're curious about them. And, also, he noted that a very recent Zogby International poll, and this is an international poll, cited Mr. Limbaugh as America's most trusted radio personality. So that's what's out there. But also, let's take a quick look at some of the headlines that came out about Rush following his passing. Here's a couple of them. Conservative media icon, that was CNN. Conservative provocateur and cultural phenomenon, that was the Washington Post. Incendiary radio talk show host, that was CNBC. Conservative talk radio pioneer who helped shape the modern day GOP, that came from Fox News. And then a couple of crummy ones, the Daily said that he was a human megaphone who hijacked the GOP. Don't know what that means. But moving right along, wildly controversial and wildly popular radio host, that came from People Magazine, talk radio legend, Newsmax, conservative radio titan, that came from National Public Radio. Voice of American conservatism, that was Associated Press. Anyway, you get the idea that this is a cross-sectional kind of event that happened and was remembered not only by the industry, but by the press, amazingly enough, and of course, his 15 million radio listeners who all miss him.
Obviously, with the loss of Rush Limbaugh, millions of Americans are wondering how they're going to be spending 3 hours of their day in the weeks and months ahead. What are you hearing about those who may take up his mantle?
Well, there's a lot of talk out there. It's very quiet and very discreet, but you know, people do wonder what happens now. And certainly, Rush has wonderful substitute hosts over the years, and they're all probably ready to go. But here's a media analyst, and now he is wondering who's going to replace him. He's just very upfront about it, and this gentleman is from the Poynter Institute. His name is Tom Jones. The Poynter Institute, for those who don't know, this is a media think tank down in Florida. They're very erudite. But anyway, here's what he has to say. To be fair, no one can truly replace Rush Limbaugh, can they? This is again coming from Tom Jones, the senior writer for the Poynter Institute. He was beloved by his listeners. Not just anyone can be thrown into that spot and have the same following, loyalty, and what matters most, ratings, is Limbaugh. The first name to jump at, a strong conservative who is beloved by the right and is currently out of work, Donald Trump. He's not the only one that thought Trump would be a good replacement for Rush. This is, again, coming from the Poynter Institute. He says, for starters, though, radio is hard. Part of what made Limbaugh so good was his work ethic. While it often appeared that Limbaugh was just winging it for 3 hours, it was his preparation that made his program appear so effortless. Would Trump be willing to put in the time to be good at radio? And then he breaches another possibility. He says, a couple of months ago, a natural choice to replace Limbaugh would have been former Vice President Mike Pence, who has experience as a radio and TV host. But Pence's reputation among Trump loyalists is mud, and that eliminates Pence, assuming he would even be interested. But I thought it's interesting both President and Vice President are on the list, I guess.
I would say leaders in the Republican Party are a little concerned about the idea of a third party, and you've got a story on that in the Beltway this week.
Yes, indeed. We're going to go over to our good pals over at the Gallup poll, as I do quite often on a Saturday. But according to Gallup, interest in a third political party is intensifying and has now reached an unprecedented level of approval. Here's what they say. Americans' appetite for a third party has never been great in Gallup's nearly two decades of polling on this subject. And now a majority of Republicans are joining the usual majority of independents in wanting that option. This is coming from Jeffrey M. Jones. He's a senior editor over at Gallup. He says 62% of U.S. adults say that the parties do such a poor job representing the American people that a third party is now needed. This is an increase from 57% in just September. Again, this is coming from Gallup. The survey found that 63% of Republicans, 70% of independents, and even 46% of Democrats now support the creation of a third party. Mr. Jones says that represents a dramatic shift for Republicans since last September, when only 40% favored a third party. And he says also Republicans' record desire for a third party comes at a time when they're deciding whether to remain loyal to Trump or to move on from him. Currently, 68% of Republicans prefer that Trump remain the party leader, while 31% want the party to have a new leader. Republican-leading independents, however, are divided, with 47% wanting Trump to continue leading and 51% preferring a new voice. So that tells you that even 2022 and 2024, we're going to have these close races, but I thought it's very interesting. Third party, never been more interest than now.
So we know how crazy the political scene is these days, and you have a story in the Beltway that not only in our times, even in the founding fathers' days, strange happenings in politics?
Yes, indeed. It was complicated even back then. I came across a letter written by George Washington's January 22nd, 1795, 226 years ago, almost to the day. Now, George Washington sat down and wrote in a letter to Edmund Pendleton. I'll explain who he is in a moment. He said, "When one side only of a story is heard and often repeated, the human mind becomes impressed with it insensibly." And he's kind of saying in the language of the day that, you keep repeating the same story over and over again, it becomes a truth. Of course, George Washington, he wrote this to Edmund Pendleton. Edmund Pendleton was both a lawyer and a judge in Virginia, a member of the First Continental Congress, right along with Washington and Patrick Henry and everyone else. But the Mount Vernon Association explains what Washington was talking about. He said, the letter explains that annual gifts to Native Americans at the time were not given so much with a view to purchase peace, but as a retribution for injuries not otherwise to be redressed. This is according to analysis of the text by the Mount Vernon Association, and they explain that Washington feared that Native Americans, only seeing the bad side of the United States, come to resent whites. And that all has to do with a story that is often heard and repeated and not necessarily true. So the media may create that all the time now, but I think perhaps they did it back then, too.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, The Washington Times. As always, thank you very much. You can follow Jennifer on Twitter at Harper Bulletin.
Thanks a lot, and stay warm, everybody, and have a good weekend.
Well, we will try. 6:47, we'll talk to Jim Trusty next, but first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In the district, watch out for fire department activity affecting 28th Street and Southeast in both directions near Hillcrest Drive. The roadway is closed between Naylor Road and Gainesville Street, so do follow police direction around the scene. Also in the district, watch out for a new traffic pattern in the long-term work zone on DC 295 southbound at Pennsylvania Avenue, where two lanes are maintained, but they do shift over to the left, so keep that in mind. Traveling on the Beltway, so far no delays, but on the outer loop at the off-ramp to go westbound on 66, there is a closure of the right lane due to long-term road work. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
While it's nice to finally have a dry weekend and some blue sky, it certainly still feels like winter out. Morning wind chills are in the teens, and with gusts around 25 miles per hour, it will feel like the 20s even at the peak of the afternoon. Actual high temperatures range from the low to mid-30s. will drop down into the teens tonight. Slight improvement Sunday with calmer winds and afternoon highs in the upper 30s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
27 degrees, 6:48 on the Saturday morning update. It is a Saturday morning update. Great to have you along, and always great to be joined by Jim Trusty. He is a partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. He is the former chief of the organized crime and gang section at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
There has been a firestorm in the state of New York over Governor Cuomo, and I will read from the BBC. What has he been accused of? He's been accused of holding back data about nursing home deaths. More than 15,000 New Yorkers in care homes have died since the start of the pandemic. But until late last month, the state's health department had logged just over 8,500 fatalities. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is calling for an investigation. New York State Democratic legislators are calling for an investigation. Jim, as you look at this from the legal standpoint, what exposure does he have when it comes to the law?
Well, there's a lot to chew on there. I mean, the starting point is just kind of a general recognition, Rick, that there can be different layers here. I mean, one is obviously political accountability, and that's what your lead-in suggests, right? If you've got congresspeople and senators and all sorts of politicians, state and federal, calling for an investigation, and that seems to be on a track of, you know, again, political accountability. I mean, God help us if there's another impeachment we're going to be televising soon, but that's kind of the end game there, is getting him either reduced in office or removed from office. And of course, there's always going to be the notion of moral blame. And if you track what's happened with, like, Janice Dean from Fox News, you know, she lost two in-laws, and there's a lot of anger and a lot of distrust of this governor that just bumped into hyperdrive with these revelations this week about holding back on these numbers intentionally. So on the criminal side of things, there's, I guess I'd put it in terms of an ascending order of likelihood. I don't think that this first thing is particularly likely, but the first possibility is that you have essentially aggressive state prosecutors that look at the deaths of these folks and decide that this is a question of recklessness on behalf of the governor. So you're talking about second-degree murder, involuntary manslaughter, reckless endangerment. Again, not specific intent to kill crimes, but still very difficult crimes, because you're talking about recklessness, not wrongful death, negligence, but recklessness that you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. And realistically, there'd be all sorts of tangled issues of causality. In other words, why did any individual person die? Was it something that you can fairly attribute to the governor, or were there health issues that were independent of that? So it doesn't help when he makes comments like, what does it matter where people died? That would be my opening statement and closing argument mantra in prosecuting him. But I don't think I'd hold my breath for an indictment for these deaths on that sort of way. And again, that's not to suggest that there's not moral blame or political accountability, but I think it's unlikely that you're going to see that type of traditional criminal prosecution. The other group that you heard about as being involved possibly with an interest in what happened in the nursing homes was the U.S. Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. And presumably it would be some sort of violation for endangering vulnerable patients. I don't really know all the statutes they operate with, but typically they're looking at intentional crime. So you're actually talking about something that has a higher burden of proof, a higher elemental burden of proof than these recklessness crimes that I mentioned for state court. And so I again, don't think it's particularly likely, even though civil rights has been mentioned as being in the mix here. Then it gets really interesting on the federal side with the Eastern District of New York, or the Department of Justice as a whole. And that's probably his biggest risk right now. And it comes down to not really the crime, but the cover-up. And here's what I would say. Federal investigators, I know this from both sides of the aisle, they take their subpoenas very seriously. And so, in fact, in some circumstances, you sign off on a certification of the accuracy or the fullness of the disclosure that you're giving to the FBI or whoever it is that's knocking on the door with the subpoena. So they take it seriously. And if you lowballed it, if you cut the number of deaths in half for political purposes, then false statement or obstruction of justice is very much in play. Now, two other things that relate to this that I think are pretty important. The first is all of those circumstances where you haven't complied with the subpoena are basically a question of negligence versus intent. You know, it's easy to say, well, we didn't really mean to screw up on our subpoena response. We just didn't have all the information. That's why Ms. DeRosa's disclosures, the secretary for the governor, are so devastating. I mean, she showed up on the scene announcing, I think, quote, we froze on the accurate numbers because DOJ was asking so many questions about the deaths. And so that is what graduates from negligence to intent, that type of comment, that type of evidence. The other crazy wrinkle to all this, Rick, is DeRosa's mother-in-law is the acting U.S. attorney in Eastern District of New York. So we're in this weird circumstance where she is kind of a critical witness or participant or subject, whatever you want to call her at this point. And the Eastern District of New York is at least believed to be the one of the agencies that was knocking on the door with questions about these deaths. But they're going to have to recuse themselves if they're really going to pursue something stronger against Cuomo than just issuing a subpoena.
Jim, you bring up some great points in there. And one clarification. At what point was there an obligation to provide, I'll say, for lack of a better word, honest information to the Department of Justice? When was that sort of in the timeline?
Right. So the reports that I've read about this, and again, these are media reports, not confirmations from the Department of Justice, but they have said that the Eastern District of New York was requesting data in August and October. And apparently they were getting responses on a rolling basis up through January. And so that's not particularly unusual in the world of federal subpoenas. Sometimes they are updating it and asking you to keep them up to speed. Other times it's a function of gathering, you know, perhaps terabytes, I mean, massive amounts of information and saying it's going to take time. We'll start, but it's going to take us a while to finish. So what we don't know is whether that was really slow walking. It sounds like it. I mean, that would be my first instinct, is this was kind of slow walking by the governor's office and the health department. But the sad thing for him when it comes to any sort of exposure for false statement or obstruction of justice is the bottom line is that's plenty of time to correct the information or to, you know, tell the Department of Justice it's incomplete. So in a sense, you're kind of building up premeditation. If this was an ongoing set of communications for months going up to the beginning of this year where New York numbers were being deflated.
I think it's real important to understand that the Department of Justice didn't come in just in the last several weeks after this revelation from Cuomo's secretary. The DOJ's been on this since August. I think that's a major point. One question for you is, we're talking thousands of deaths. We're not talking about one or two individuals who died as a result of the decisions that were made. Does the magnitude of loss of life play into this at all?
Well, I think it certainly is a big hook. I mean, the gravity of the situation is undeniable. I mean, and again, think about it a little bit from the perspective of family members who've lost loved ones. You know, they're already concerned that this governor made horrible decisions that put their loved ones in danger and maybe ultimately got them killed. Now they're hearing that, you know, because he was, quote, you know, claiming to be afraid of Donald Trump's meddling, that they froze and they held back on the numbers intentionally. I mean, it's a very flagrant kind of disrespectful notion from a victim's perspective. But I also think that from a prosecutor's perspective, they're not going to like this notion that this governor felt there was a Trump exception to his duty to respond truthfully to a subpoena. I mean, there isn't. That might be the political cover in Albany, but that doesn't work when it comes to whether or not you're obstructing or making false statements to the Department of Justice.
One other aspect to Governor Cuomo's problems right now, New York Assemblyman Ron Kim has made some revelations about a call that he got from Governor Cuomo where Ron Kim says, quote, he spent 10 minutes threatening my career and ordering me to issue a statement that would be used to cover for the state secretary. Cuomo is an abuser. He has abused his powers. Abusers are cowards. When he makes threatening comments on a phone call, and I know it's he said, she said, likely in this case, but what kind of legal exposure is there for Governor Cuomo?
Yeah, pretty limited. I mean, the first part is if you were trying to present a case for this, most states that have a phone threats type statute have a requirement that the caller makes it very clear that they're threatening physical harm, sometimes even higher than that, serious physical harm or death. So talking about destroying a person politically probably doesn't get to that level of being a crime. Other states also have, and I'm not sure about New York, but a lot of states have telephone harassment, but that requires multiple calls. So maybe he'll call back and follow up and there'll be a better case. But again, you're talking about two different politicians giving accounts of these calls. That's always going to be tough sledding for figuring out who's being more credible. The only thing I'd say on behalf of Mr. Kim is, I guess, two things. One is he said it got so loud from Cuomo's end that his wife could hear it in the other room, and that would be some easy corroboration of what was happening in that call to find out what she says. The other thing is, it's just funny, he quoted Cuomo as saying, "You have not seen my wrath." And I thought to myself, as a longtime prosecutor, boy, that has a ring of truth. You know, that sounds like something Cuomo would say, kind of a Game of Thrones approach to his political existence. So I think there's a lot of room for this to be an accurate depiction from Mr. Kim, but one without any criminal consequences, just political ones.
Jim, once again, we want to thank you for taking some very complex legal issues and really condensing it into layman's terms so we can kind of understand what's going on now and what we may see play out in the weeks ahead. Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law here in D.C. Jim, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Stay warm this weekend.
Thank you. 7 o'clock news is next. Then it's John Gizzi. We'll talk with Gordon Chang, Tony Schaefer, and Katie McFarland all in the next hour. Stay with us.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station.